It's time for the Sleep Tight Saturday Morning Ticket with Chris Dewar on WTAD. It's 30 minutes of scores, coaches, interviews, and a look at the weekend sports schedule. And now, here's Chris.
And tip-top of the morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sleep Tight Saturday Morning Ticket. You know, I had the most unique of Quincy experiences yesterday. I'm at the homecoming game for Rock Island Quincy High School. I'm in the back end of the end zone talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I feel somebody tap me on the shoulder and push my head down to check the top of my skull, and it's Luke Guthrie, making sure that the top of my skull has healed from my ill-fated trip over to Springfield to go see him when Sam Burns hit me on top of the head with a golf ball. And yes, Luke made sure that I knew that Sam was now on the PGA Tour, had moved up, so at least my scar atop my head is now something worthwhile. So that, my friends, is about as Quincy as it gets, and that just speaks to the lunacy and insanity of what this football weekend was like. Last night, we had a number one team in the state, Missouri, get upset. We had a huge upset over in Springfield last night that I need to talk about. We had the homecoming beatdown for the Quincy High Blue Devils. We had it all last night. It was a phenomenal weekend of sports drama. And oh, by the way, we had a bicycle kick to beat Quincy Notre Dame yesterday in a soccer showdown in Burlington. My goodness, we're going to get into all of it. We've got that for you. Plus, we've got two outstanding guests today. We're going to talk to Seth Bass, the North Shelby head football coach, as well as the eight-man experience has worked for his program and brought the Raiders new life. They've got a huge matchup coming up this week and a chance to really prove that they're a top-five team in the state of Missouri in eight-man football. That's going to be a ton of fun. You're going to like Seth's story coming up, as well as we'll sit down and break all the soccer down with Ron Bridle, the Quincy High Blue Devil coach, as his team's still playing up in Burlington in that phenomenal affair, the Go for the Goal Classic, taking place in Burlington as we speak today. But let's first of all get into all the scores from last night. Tons to break down for you, and we'll start off with that homecoming beat that the Quincy Blue Devils administered to Rock Island last night, 49-6 on the turbo clock. I don't know if Quincy High School is that good, the rest of the Western Big Six is that bad, or Rock Island just laid an egg last night, but Quincy High School looked phenomenal in the offing. The best we've seen that defense for the Blue Devils play in a long, long time. Jirell Brock last night also added to that affair with a 100-yard pick-six interception at the end of the first half. Jirell final numbers for last night, 17 carries, 215 yards, and two touchdowns. Adonte Kreider added 104 yards rushing on eight carries and two touchdowns. And I'm not sure Adonte Kreider ever got touched last night at any point during the course of the game, although he did drop the helmet on one of those Rock Island defenders. That might have been it. The blocking last night was fantastic. The Blue Devils, Rick Little's team, could not have looked better last night. And they go into the big showdown next week on the road. It's a Saturday game at Allaman at Augustana with plenty of momentum working. The news not so good across town, though, for the Quincy Notre Dame Raiders, who were eliminated from playoff consideration last night with a 42-14 loss to Mater Dei. Here's the story. The Raiders were up 14-7 at the half. They looked good, couldn't have started the game any better, and things just sort of slid away from Jack Cornell's team in the second half as they could mount no offense whatsoever. Elsewhere on the docket in Illinois last night, what a bounce back for the West Hancock Titans as they destroy Macomb last night, 44-15. Bryce Wilson, after rushing seven times for just 10 yards against Monroe City, he does that falling out of his bed usually gets 10 yards. He had five rushing touchdowns. Statement win for the Titans last night. Also, Triopia wins over Brown County in homecoming game for the Trojans, 43-14. It was Beardstown all over Jacksonville route, 42-22, your final on that one. Carrollton, a winner over Pleasant Hill Western, 49-6. And Camp Point Central with a bounce back after that loss to undefeated Beardstown, destroys Unity Payson last night, 43-14. Cole Williams, 11 carries, 152 yards, and three touchdowns in the offing. Also last night, West Central, a winner over Calhoun, 38-30. In the Prairie Land, rough night almost all around. Farmington over Bushnell West Prairie, 47-12. Rushville Industry loses to Elmwood Brimfield, 40-8. Illini West, though, big-time victory for them. Still undefeated, still rolling, 52-16 over Lewiston. They play South Fulton at home next week to the Chargers. Nick Voorhees last night, 19 carries, 130 yards, and three rushing touchdowns. Also last night, Pittsfield beaten by Athens, 49-0 was your final there. Let's move to the Missouri side of things. The Hannibal Pirates taking care of business on the road against winless Fulton last night, 47-0. Damian French, 12 carries, 178 yards, and four rushing touchdowns. Big game coming up at Porter Stadium on Friday for the Pirates as they will take on a Moberly team that looked awfully good in dispatching with Macon last week. Also on the docket, what a night for Quarter Lenbauer. What a night for the Palmyra Panthers as they rally. The backup quarterback comes off the bench when Jacob Krieger gets hurt before the first half, rallies his team 90 yards in about 55 seconds with no timeouts on the clock to give Palmyra a 32-28 victory. Quarter Lenbauer with the game-winning touchdown in that one, a two-yard rush with 25 seconds left. Clark County, wow, big win for them on the road at Macon, handing the Tigers their first loss in conference, 22-18. Big one coming up on Friday as well, as Clark County will host Palmyra in a battle of state-ranked teams. That is a preview, perhaps, of a district, at least semifinal, maybe championship. Should be fun there as well. Speaking of that district, Monroe City beat South Shelby after being tied after three quarters with the Cardinals. 42-22 was your final in that one. The Panthers did ring up 460 yards of total offense. Keenan Batzel with 176 rushing yards and four touchdowns. Also, Brookfield with their first win of the season. They beat Highland 54-21. It was Mexico beating Centralia 35-14. North Shelby, and again, we're going to talk to Seth Bass coming up second, but his team beats Chilhowee 40-0. That game was stopped with a couple of minutes left in the first half because Chilhowee didn't have enough healthy players. North Shelby now 5-1 on the season. Huge showdown with Stanberry, perhaps the bellwether in all of eight-man football in Missouri coming up on Friday. Again, we'll get into that in just a second here. Last night as well, Bowling Green a loser to North Callaway. It was South Callaway beating Clopton Ellsbury 42-20. Van Farr wins the Farmers Cup 28-21 over Mark Twain. Here's the story of the night. Scotland County destroys the number one team in the state, Westran, 38-21. Shout out to Troy Carper's crew, Will Fromm and company, getting it done last night. That is a huge win for the Tigers. They've got a big showdown with Knox County, who was a winner again last night as well. So Scotland and Knox, another huge game coming up on this Friday as Week 7 looks like a really good one. Also last night, Fayette over Paris, 40-8 was your final there. Excuse me, no good news to pass along in Southeast Iowa. Elbia all over Central East, 64-0. It was Pleasant Hill, 53-0 over Keokuk, and Fairfield knocking off Fort Madison last night. Some soccer to talk about. If you haven't seen the bicycle kick, it was unbelievable. Quincy Notre Dame was leading U High 5-4 with 90 seconds left. This kid goes Pele on the Raiders, hits an unbelievable bicycle kick. You can see it on my Twitter feed now, ties it up. And after the eighth round of penalty kicks and sudden death penalty kicks, the Raiders lose by the final count of 6-5 in that one. Also, Quincy High losing yesterday to a really good Washburn team. 4-2 was your final on that one. We'll have Ron Bridle, as I mentioned, coming up and talking about just what his team is deriving from playing all this great competition from around the Midwest. They're playing teams from Colorado, Kansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all there up in Burlington this week. It is a fun affair as well. Also last night, the Hannibal soccer team beats Fatima in the Camdenton tournament. 3-0 was your final on that one. Nathan DeStefani with a couple of goals. In high school golf yesterday, Quincy Notre Dame finishes third at the U-High Pioneer Invite. Alex McCullough is your medalist yet again with a 71. Volleyball yesterday, Quincy High School with a split at the Metro East Classic, beating Belleville West 2-1, but losing to St. Louis Power Incarnate Word 2-1. At the Riverton Tournament, Pace and Seymour gets swept by Mount Zion and Rock Falls. And in college soccer yesterday, Quincy University on the road at Bellarmine, a pair of hard luck losses in that one. Bellarmine on the women's side wins 2-1, and on the men's side wins 3-2. All right, we're going to talk some football. We're going to take it over to Shelbyville and talk about the Rising Raiders when the Morning Ticket roars on.
This is the Sleep Tight Saturday Morning Ticket on WTAD. Better bed, less money. Sleep Tight, 4535 Broadway in Quincy. Once again, here's Chris Dewar.
So I'm going to start this segment by affording my friend Seth Bass a soapbox, if you will. He is the architect, of what has been a wonderful renaissance of Raider football. When he arrived in town in Shelbyville, North Shelby football was dying. It had come off a run of 8 years where it hadn't won a football game, essentially. Kids were talking about not playing. They tried to put together co-ops with different people. Nothing worked. The eight-man situation scenario comes into play, and Seth, your football program, a couple of years later, is vibrant. Do me the favor, tell me why eight-man football has worked so well in your community.
Well, I think the biggest thing is our community has embraced it, our kids have embraced it, and they've really enjoyed the style of play that, you know, that the eight-man affords us. A lot of people look at eight-man football and think that that's only a route you go if you're down to 11, 12, 13 kids, and I don't think that's the case at all. I think a lot of teams locally, the smaller schools that maybe look at their roster and see that they've only got maybe 3 to 5 true linemen, if that, and are just loaded with skill kids, that I think that's a route that they need to explore, because that's the situation we're in. If you look at our roster, we don't have a whole lot of true linemen per se, probably 2 or 3, but we do have a lot of skill kids, and with what we do offensively, that fits us very well, and it's allowed us to make great strides as a program. And like I said, I can't give our kids enough credit. They've bought in. They work extremely hard in the weight room. They do exactly what we ask them as coaches, and it's starting to really show the benefits of it on the field.
You touched on that. You're 5-1 right now, but you're not only that. You're an 8-man team with depth. You go from being a North Shelby team that was fighting just to be competitive every week and keep kids on the field to field 11 to being a team with depth. And you're now a team with experience, which is something you didn't have the first couple of years you were there. What's it like now being a veteran team, I guess, with this group? Because I know it's a really sharp group of kids.
Yeah, they're very, very sharp, and it's been awesome having the veteran leadership. Our seniors have done a great job from a leadership standpoint, holding our younger guys accountable and really kind of showing them the lessons that they've learned over these last couple of years. And it's made practice a lot more efficient. You know, we don't have to spend a whole bunch of time on talking about what a team's trying to do to us week to week. We've got a much better grasp of that because we've either seen it because we've played them in the past, or we've seen something pretty similar, and they grasp that concept very well. And you know, I'll give Donnie Williams, our junior high coach, a lot of credit as well. When I got here, he implemented my triple option stuff at the junior high level, even though they were still playing 11-man, and that's really started to show up. You know, having to have Cale Stoneburner start as a freshman this year as quarterback, that's not something we're capable of doing without him running our stuff at the junior high level. So it's just we've aligned our programs together very well, and that's all just kind of helped us with an experience standpoint, and our football knowledge is just miles ahead of where it was 3 years ago.
You touch on that, but it's not just football knowledge. It's 8-man football knowledge, which was an adjustment, and it's an adjustment you've made phenomenally well on defense this year. You go, I guess you kind of learned the process that the game's a little wide open when you play it, but your defense is now, I think with quick math, averaging just like 9 points against this season, which it was close to 40 last year. What's been the biggest turn in that, Seth, in getting that defense to a level where you go from being, you know, a team that's sort of middling in 8-man football to a team that's now a top 6, top 5 team in the state?
Well, it's been a couple of different things. You know, the kids' experience and their knowledge has helped out tremendously, but Coach Haverland, Coach Rich, and even Coach Forrest, our defense coordinator from last year, we all sat down this offseason and really looked hard at what we were doing schematically and if it fit our kids and if we needed to change what we were doing. And we shifted to a little bit more of an unorthodox defense, a 2-3-3 that not really anybody runs in the state. I think Osceola down in southwest Missouri is meddling with it a little bit, but that kind of gives us a little bit of a unique look, and I think it's a little bit more difficult for teams to prepare since it is kind of a little bit more out of the ordinary. It borrows a lot of philosophies from the 11-man 3-4, a lot of movement, a lot of blitzing, and really kind of controlling the line of scrimmage that way. And our defensive line's done a great job this year. It's really kind of been the strength of our defense. Jackson Lunsford, Nick Miles, Gus Williams, and Kirby Latimer as a four-man rotation with that two-front has really paid off for us. And it's kind of ironic. We knew they were the strength of our defense last year, and we tried to kind of do a little bit of four-front stuff, but that was put too much pressure on our linebackers. So we actually kind of went the other direction this year, and those D linemen, if they're not getting penetration, a lot of times they're requiring double teams, and that's been letting our linebackers run free. Brian Givens has had a great season so far at outside backer. He leads us in tackles. I don't know how much. I haven't done last night's stats yet, but he's had a great year. Kyle Smith, as a freshman, has played quite a bit at middle backer and done real well. And of course, Mason, being there at the other outside linebacker spot, we moved him in there this year, has done a pretty good job of it as well. So those guys are flourishing because the big uglies up front are really occupying defenders and doing their job well.
And in the interest of fairness, they're not that ugly. I've seen them. They're pretty decent looking kids. So you guys have Buddy Ryan'd your way with the defense, kind of with scheme to make that better. Here's the biggest thing I've learned, because along with you guys, Seth, we on the outside, the media, are kind of learning the 8-man game as we go, since we've never had it before. It seems like at your level, the margin for error is much smaller than anything else. Is that the fairest assessment you've learned from coaching 11-man to 8-man?
Yeah, and it's kind of ironic, you know, with us putting a free safety back there this year, that's helped us a lot. Elijah Greenwald's done a great job back there. I think he's already got 2 defensive touchdowns, should have had 3. The officials caught him, cost him one in week 1. But, you know, switching to the 2-3 this year, when I did 8-man in Tennessee, that's actually the scheme I started with down there, and it wasn't working, so I had to go to the 3-3. So when I did 8-man again up here, I started off with the 3-3 and then kind of went a little bit of 4-2, and neither one of those worked, so I had to go back to what I started with. So just kind of an odd coincidence with the difference in philosophies by state and just with the different kind of kids that I've got here compared to Tennessee. So having the free safety helps us a lot. It gives us a little bit more of a security blanket back there. It's not, if we miss a tackle, we're not doomed. It's not all or nothing like it's been defensively the last 2 years, and we're making teams drive the field on us, and so far nobody's really been able to do it. Even if you go back to Northwest at the beginning of the year, when we gave up 26 points, and then Norborn, of course, got 28 on us, but one of those was on a kickoff return. It took them quite a while to get down there. Northwest got us on some big plays just because they were a passing team, but I think we only gave up maybe 2 that were 30-plus yard plays.
Well, this is moment
them.
Of truth
and
week for you, because
a pretty high scoring offense so far too.
Yeah, this is moment of truth week, because this is where we find out where you're really at. Now, I think we know you're pretty good, and this has been a great story. But just for your kids' standpoint, you're playing arguably the measuring stick in all of 8-man football in the state of Missouri this week. What's it mean to have that opportunity, and what do you hope to find out about yourself through this whole process of getting that level exchange? Because I know you saw them last year.
Yeah, we've seen them the last 2 years, and Coach Hilton does a great job with them. I think they're probably the best coach team in 8-man football. They're not always the most talented, but he just does such a phenomenal job of having his kids ready. They play so hard, and they just execute on both sides of the ball so well. I just want to see our kids. I want to see if we can match up physically with them. They're always just such a physical football team, and I know we've made great strides in that regard, and I want to see if we can come out Friday night and really match their physicality. I don't think we're going to be able to exceed their physicality, because that's going to be, that would be really saying something. But if we can match it, I think we can hang around with them and give ourselves a shot to win late in the game. We're going to want it to be a grinded out type of game. We want it to, instead of going no huddle like we do some other games, we're probably going to want to slow the game down a little bit and limit their opportunities and hopefully give ourselves a chance to win. That starts off a pretty strong string of games for us. We're going to close with 3 straight undefeated teams probably, and then our district is shaped up to be pretty brutal too. So we've got a lot of tests ahead, and I think we match up well with pretty much all of them. But, you know, Stanberry is the biggest test of all, and we'll know a lot more after this Friday.
Well, keep up the great work, my friend. You have done a phenomenal job. Hats off to you and your kids, and congratulations on the success to this point, Seth.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to talk soccer with Quincy High School and Ron Bridle.
Getting you ready for a full weekend of sports, it's the Saturday Morning Ticket, brought to you by Sleep Tight at 4535 Broadway in Quincy. Here's Chris.
Live and direct from Burlington, Iowa, Ron Bridle joins us now to talk soccer and to talk the Go for the Gold Classic, which has just been a phenomenal slew of competition for the Blue Devils this week. Ron, what do you gain from seeing these different schools from across the Midwest that play such a high level that spins forward for you into the postseason?
You know, I think that's exactly it. We come to a tournament like Burlington because it helps prepare us for the kinds of teams that we would face in a sectional and super sectional and state tournament. You know, so we look at this as like a stepping stone, like building block type of situation to help prepare us for the postseason and get us more prepared for what we need to be able to do come down the stretch.
I know it hasn't been as successful as you would like at 0-2, but there has been some momentum to spin off of some of the performances you've had, because you're kind of the walking wounded right now.
You know, we don't like to use that as an excuse, but we've had some injuries, you know, and I think those injuries have taken a toll over the course of the last few weeks. But when I look at where we're at right now and how kids are starting to rebound a little bit and get a little bit more healthy, I think that we're going in the right direction. Yeah, we don't want to be 0-2 in the tournament, but facing the teams that we did in St. Thomas Aquinas and Washburn High out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, it would be great to play them healthy. Let's just say that.
I know it would be, but you did get Robbie back in the last couple of days, and obviously that kid's a medical miracle, playing with a knee brace. I think a lot of people thought he was lost for the season. He brings a lot back to you, and you've had some kids develop around him in his absence as well, which is kind of an almost ideal scenario with everything falling into place.
Yeah, it's been super. I mean, it's totally unexpected to have Robbie come back the way that he has, and he is moving like he previously did, which is amazing. And in that time period when he was gone, you know, we had some other kids like Evan Wigan and Andrew Vandermaiden, among many others, start to step up. And Andrew yesterday got his another goal. So for him to be able to do the things that he's doing, playing with that knee and allowing those others to kind of play with him and start to develop a little bit more cohesion, I think it's super for us heading into the home stretch here and then into the postseason.
Ron, I am a huge Jake Happel fan. I don't know that anybody saw him coming into life at the back end for you the way he has, and he just seems to be a kid whose confidence grows with every single match.
And I'd say that's correct. And we saw that in particular on Thursday. There were three challenges where they came in and balls in the air, and Jake came out and controlled his box and drilled a couple of kids in the same play. You know, as he came out and punched the ball, and one of the balls in particular, the kid got a yellow card for his challenge on Jake, and the kid barely made it off the field when it was him who got in and fouled Jake. And that just goes to show, you know, the kind of strength that Jake has in the air, and also goes to show his confidence to be able to come out on those balls. And really, I think that you look at what he did in the postseason, him and Grant Higgins, and the amount of time that they spent in the weight room to help prepare them for the demands of the kind of schedule that we play.
I know keepers are nearest and dearest to your heart. Between Jake and Griffin Kern across town, that level of play has been really surprisingly good in the Gem City, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that for me, like you said, in particular as a goalkeeper, I'm really happy to see both programs have really good goalkeepers. And that's, you know, credit to Coach Girding over at Quincy Notre Dame and what he's done with Coach with Griffin and everything. And, you know, here at Quincy High, we're proud to have Jake as well. But for us, we've always, in the city of Quincy, I think we've been proud of our tradition of great goalkeeping, and these two boys, you know, both schools are going to continue that.
I know you've got business to attend today, and then spinning forward, it's a big week for obviously Quincy High soccer.
Yeah, you know, and we're super pumped. As kids are getting healthy, it looks like Grant Higgins is going to be available again this week, hopefully. And the leadership that he can bring to that back line is incredible. You know, so for him to be able to make it back, Robbie's back. You know, Ashton Irwin's out on injury. He'll be back. You know, it's a good week, we hope, for those boys to be back, because Moline and the conference championship on Tuesday should be super exciting. We follow that up with a super exciting game Wednesday, which is our charity game as well. And this year our charity is the Tri-State Warrior Outreach, which is a local branch of, like, the Wounded Warrior program. And we're really excited to be a part of that. And then Saturday we travel up the Normal West, you know. So when you look at those three games, we've got a week ahead of us. And like I said, we use this part of the season to help prepare us for what's to come in 3A postseason play.
Well, great job to this point, Ron. And I'm going to start sportscasting with that big giant glove that Jaden's wearing over his broken arm, because I just like the way that looks.
We're a little bit worried that he was going to start to run a little bit crooked, but he's managed all right so far. So that would be a good way to start.
Well, big week as well. Get on out to see the Blue Devils if you get the chance at any point. Obviously, the big one with the charity game on Wednesday against Quincy Notre Dame at home at Flynn Stadium. Again, Ron, good luck today and good luck the rest of the way, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much. So, really appreciate it.
All right, and that's it for the Saturday Morning Ticket. We'll be right back here next weekend to talk about all the goings-on in local sports.
Time has run out. You're invited to join us again next week for another edition of the Saturday Morning Ticket, brought to you by Sleep Tight at 4535 Broadway in Quincy.